Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and I'm here once again with nominee for president in Branch 2502, Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
All right. Oh dude, you came through nice and loud that time. Yeah, that's good stuff. We're still working on Michael's mic technique, and he's getting pretty good at it.
And then I stay away from the mic, and then I was like, hey, go back.
Yeah, get back on that mic. Yeah, well, we like the mic technique, or I prefer it, where you're practically eating the microphone. Like, you go right up on that microphone. All right, but anyway, that's not why we're here. Why you distract me like that, Michael?
I don't know.
All right. So we are here because we want to respond to some things that have been said and set the record straight with an issue that's important to us in our campaign. So this is going to be a campaign issue, but there's takeaways in here because we're going to wind up talking about our platform. And we'll get into that in just a sec. And in your branch, you can maybe take some of these ideas and run with them in your own branch. You know, we think that there's room for improvement, and there's probably room for improvement in your branch as well. And if you have ideas about, you know, maybe some of these things could be fine-tuned, maybe you have experience with them, by all means, reach out, classesofmail@gmail.com, and we'll talk about it. But the impetus for this episode, Michael called me again today, and he's like, dude, we got to do a podcast episode.
Yep.
When do you want me to come over? And I said, how about tomorrow? And he says, how about today? And so here we are today. It is Monday.
Well, tomorrow I'm off. I don't want to drive down
across town. Yeah, that's true. So today is Monday the 15th as we record this. I don't know when this will come out because, dude, even our last campaign episode hasn't come out yet. I'm releasing episodes every 2 days, and it's not enough.
During campaign season, you should bring it up.
Yeah, well,
as soon as possible.
I know. So anyway, there's a letter that was sent out to the retirees in our branch. And it starts out, hello, my retiree friends.
Before you start.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're running an election and you're able to get a roster so that you can send flyers out or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And you can, there is a choice. You can send the active carriers and the retirees.
Yes, okay? Somebody sent an email or classes of mail asking about this. And your branch has a roster. Mm-hmm. So for our branch, we weren't allowed to take that roster because there's people's private information on there.
Yeah, but here's the thing is...
Well, let me explain the process a little bit. Yeah. Because what the options that we had is that if we went with an outside printer, then the election chair would send the roster to the printer, and then the printer uses it. I don't know what printers do, but they use that to make all the address labels. Instead, because we were making our own flyer out of Michael's own printer, what we did instead is we stamped all of our own envelopes, and then you had to bring that Avery label paper down to the Union Hall and print off from the address list there.
Right.
But it can be broken down by active and retirees.
Right.
Yep. So that's how it works here. That's how it should work where you are as well.
And me, I just wanted to send our flyer to everybody so it didn't matter if it was active or retiree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we could have, with 2,000 members, there was enough that we could have sent out our flyer standard mail, but we didn't. We chose to do it first class. Mm-hmm. And it worked out really well because our flyer wound up showing up the day before the ballot showed up.
Yep.
You can't do much better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really nice. Meanwhile, the incumbents actually sent theirs out standard. And it came out a few days after.
And who knows if some people got it or not.
Yeah, right. You never know.
That's the problem.
Exactly.
Right?
And you never... Like, with first-class mail, you're supposed to try to make the save if it's undeliverable, but with standard, it just goes into the UBA.
Right. And with being the first class, you also get all the forwards being sent.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It does get forwarded. That's a good call. And in theory, they'd be returned, too, but we didn't bother putting return addresses.
Yeah,
we don't want.
I didn't want to piss off my
your own carrier. Right, exactly. Yeah, so that's how that works in theory. And I bet you there are other branches where you can just like download that mailing list. I don't know, but that's the way it happened here. But the important thing is whatever one candidate has access to, everybody else has to have that access as well. So it doesn't give one candidate an unfair advantage.
What happened is that our opponents decided to send a mailer out separate from active carriers to retirees.
Right.
And for the retirees, our goodest, oldest boy, he sent a separate letter to all the retirees. And that's all we want to talk about.
Yeah. This letter is interesting in a couple of ways. And there's some few things in here that need addressing, including our platform.
Yes.
Right, which we'll get to that in just a sec.
Yes.
So he starts out, hello, my retiree friends. I'm writing to you again regarding our branch elections. Our opposing team was able to convince National that due to me forgetting to insert the statement, full-time officers by virtue of office shall automatically be included as paid delegates to the state and national conventions and the state AFL-CIO convention in the election. Oh, you know what? That was a quote, but he didn't do the end quote. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In the election notice, we therefore must rerun the entire election, including the nomination process.
Do you really think the National will have us rerun the election just because they're saying that, you have to go to the, put that on the National.
So this is.
Do you really think so?
This is the whitewashing. Because that's all he says.
That was part of it.
Yeah. That's all he says about the last election. Like what got messed up. Right. That I found, me, Alan, found some small detail that I brought to National and National decided we have to rerun. Now what this ignores is about
not small. It's big, huge. Yeah. Don't say it's small. No, it's huge. That's the reason why the re-election is happening.
Dude, obviously. This ignores about 20 other violations that were all part of that appeal. And it ignores completely the fact that our own election board within the branch voted almost unanimously to rerun from the beginning.
Right.
And the branch itself voted with a supermajority to rerun from the beginning. None of that makes it into the email. Right. This is, at best, this is disingenuous. More accurately, it's deceptive because it totally whitewashes. And because this is going to retirees, they're not plugged in. They don't know what's going on. And so this is what they get.
And I'm telling you what. It was a huge effort to get the re-election happening because
It's taken almost a year.
Because we even got the re-election voted at our branch, but it was our own e-board who filed appeal to not to do a re-election.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was the National who saw all that and said, no, you got to do the re-election.
You're right,
so there was that whole process.
Dude, and the underhanded shit. I have to digress. I'm sorry. This is, of all the stuff that happened, this is maybe the thing that pissed me off the most, was of all the underhanded shit, when our branch voted 52-23, or whatever the vote was, it was something like that, supermajority, to rerun the election all the way from nominations, so the branch has voted, and then people on the executive board make their appeal, and so their appeal goes up and the branch's position goes up. And who said, I speak for the branch, I'll write the branch's position? Who said that?
That will be Paul.
Yeah, the branch president. The branch president. Who was on the other side. And then, so...
Which is not Steve the branch.
If you go back and... those episodes...
Yeah, people can go back to that episode.
Oh my God. So what happened is this... Our branch president, who was opposed to the branch's decision, said that he would write on behalf of the branch. And so we knew he's not going to give the branch a fair shake, right? That he's going to undermine their point of view. And so I asked the goodest oldest boy about it, and he's like, oh, don't worry. And this is all in writing, right? Oh, don't worry about it. It's just a timeline of events, and there's no opinion in it one way or the other.
Right.
And then when I finally got my hands on what our branch president actually wrote, supposing to represent the branch, he did the exact opposite. He absolutely put opinion in it, opinion that threw the branch under the bus and completely undermined the branch's position that he said he would represent.
And who told you to send a branch
You and opinion? Fred Woodley. You guys are right about everything. Yeah. So sorry for that digression. But all of that is all, you know, where the goodest oldest boy flatly lied about what, because that appeal went through his hands. He flatly lied to me about what was in it, what was going on, and now here he's whitewashing the whole thing.
Right,
because this is all he says about the election. Why would you say any of that stuff? Everything else makes you look bad.
Okay,
so getting back to continue on, this of course now allows them to have a second bite of the apple, per se, which means we get to run the election again, and we get to run...
Because they're improprieties.
Yeah,
that's
course.
Why we're having a re-election.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, so he goes on. So now they are running people in almost all positions. They were beaten with your help the first time, and we are
almost
determined...
Almost all. It's all positions.
No, it's not, because the goodest oldest boy got in unopposed.
But this was a re-election for all positions.
Oh, yeah. But he's saying that... you know, last time there were a number of positions that we didn't have candidates for. And this time we do. Mm-hmm. Because A, we're a united slate this time. Or united...
Not slate.
No, we're not a slate.
We're endorsing a lot of people.
Right, exactly. Like, there's only one opponent.
There's only one team right. that's doing a
it's
full slate.
It's not a three-way race.
And that would be the...
Right, I get it. Yeah. So, I can see why, as the incumbent, you wouldn't like that. Because it's a more organized opposition. Which we are definitely more organized this mm-hmm. time. No question about that. And so anyway, he's saying that's a bad thing. And he goes on to say they were beaten with your help the first time, and we are determined they will lose again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, we were beaten, but we also found improprieties in the fact that the ballots were sitting in our president's office.
Well, they were unsecured.
And
right,
unsecured.
Right. And he ordered extra ballots. And
yeah.
Dude,
and over
let's
two,
not...
And over 200 ballots were missing. So, yes. I don't know. You guys can think of whatever you see from just what I said.
Let's not spend too much time on this.
Okay.
Because,
we can keep
dude,
going.
But if for some reason you haven't heard all the crazy stuff that happened in the first go-around, mm-hmm. like, there's a reason this became a national embarrassment for mm-hmm. our branch. And basically go back and look for any episode that has the word shenanigans in the title.
Yeah.
And that'll tell you like what was going on with that first election. Yeah. Dude, it was so off the rails.
Well, I mean, we were just explaining at least the quick version of it.
Yeah, that's fine. All right. So he goes on. If you have ever listened to Brother Gigax's podcast, along with his guest, Brother Brazenly, you will know how much they hate the fact that retirees show up at the general meeting and have a voice.
So... Since he mentioned our names,
yeah,
and mentioned our podcast, so
yeah.
I'm hoping that we'll.
I don't see why he can't say class is a male.
Yeah,
but
I'm hoping that we get the retirees on this podcast. So welcome
Michael,
to this podcast.
You don't know this.
What's
this
that?
Is a new development.
Uh-oh.
Listeners, you're getting this hot off the presses. What's the number one city for downloads for class is a male?
It was Chicago.
That's correct. You know what it
number
is now?
Number two was Las Vegas.
You know what's number one now?
Las Vegas?
Las Vegas.
No way.
The number one city for downloads for class
nice.
As a male.
Nice.
Yes.
So finally.
Yeah.
Our own city.
That is exciting. So mm-hmm. that means word's getting out.
Yes.
That people are listening mm-hmm. here in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, he's also promoting it in the fact that
he is.
Said so.
Yeah. That was very kind of him. Yeah. It would be better if he would say
so,
class
again,
is a male.
I just liked it for all the new retirees checking out our podcast. Welcome.
Yep. Thank you.
We don't hate you like he says.
Well, no, but let's.
Okay.
So to reiterate, they hate the fact that retirees show up at the general meeting and have a voice. So A, hate. No, absolutely not.
Right.
We don't hate it. And the issue is, and listeners to the podcast, you'll know this. The issue that we have is that working carriers are voting a particular way to try to right the ship in the branch and try to better
for
the conditions
working
for working carriers.
Yes.
And what we have is an executive board who's voting again and again against
as a block, which is 11 of
block,
them.
Against what the working carriers are vote for. And the problem that we have with the retirees, and this goes back to the Boston Convention too,
mm-hmm.
is that they'll come in not really knowing what's going on in the workroom floor, what's going on in the branch, and vote in lockstep with the executive board.
Oh, because they asked them to vote for that.
Yeah, voting for the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this situation where we have working carriers on one side and we have the status quo on the other side. And the retirees are voting for the status quo, in many cases not really even being aware of what's going on, just remembering the people who they trusted from
well, they asked them
ago.
To show up to the meeting, too.
Yeah, and they right, they get asked to show up. Right, yeah. Exactly, because retirees mm-hmm. very uniformly support
yeah,
the status quo.
They'll do stuff like hand out pins or inform about some retiree dinner. Or
sure.
They'll make some excuse to bring more retirees in for that
yeah,
meeting.
Right.
Normally, they don't ever show up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, dude, we have supporters who are retirees as well, mm-hmm. who are more plugged in. But dude, I mean, this criticism doesn't come from out of the blue, right? Mm-hmm. In credit to the goodest oldest boy, it is a source of frustration for us
mm-hmm.
that they come in not really knowing what's going on and then vote against
yeah, it's
working
not that
carriers.
We hate the retirees.
No,
it's
not at
it's
all.
What they say after the meeting. And I asked them, hey, why were you voting for that? And like, oh, well, we were asked to vote for that. Do you even know what's going on? They never know what's going on.
Right. And this has come up explicitly
yeah,
in
over
conversations.
And over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and then I explained it to them. They're like, oh, well, I guess, well, at that point, I don't really want her to vote. I'm going, see?
Yeah. It's too late
once
now.
Once you really know,
you're
you
right.
don't want, you know, you don't, you shouldn't
right,
have voted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He goes on. If they had their way, retirees would not be able to vote on branch matters. I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
What I would like to see more, and this is not just retirees, this is true of anybody. I would like to see more people abstaining.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know what's going on, or if you don't give a shit what's going on, just abstain. Let the people pulling on that rope pull on the rope.
But I'm just going to say some stuff that I disagreed with.
Okay.
I disagreed when our president wanted to send 9 people to California State Convention.
Okay.
And it's a California State Convention, not Nevada State Convention.
True.
So I, you know, for me, I'm like, why are we sending that many people to California State Convention? 9 people.
Uh-huh.
And then we find out that the training or that one day, it was only for one day, not 3 days.
Dude, we don't have inside information
but people,
here. Let's not get too into it.
But people approved it at the meeting. Yeah. Okay. Right. And so, you know, these are things that gets approved that some people don't know what's going on.
This got nothing to do with the retirees.
No, that was approved by retirees also.
Sure. Okay. I approved it too. I voted
and
for
it. No, here's the thing. I approved it too. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because the Formula E people that we got right now has a very low training.
Level of training. Yeah.
Very low level of training. They haven't gone to a lot of training at all. Okay. So when our president says, hey, you know, they need some training and they're going to have a training. He kind of lied, but, you know, there's no 100%, but because Alan says he doesn't know. I'm going, oh, I know what I heard. But anyway, that's another matter.
I remember him saying that they would be going for formal A training.
Right. That's But
and that's in the minutes, too.
But but it wasn't a formal A training. It was just a regular class for one day.
Yeah.
Right, for one day. Okay.
I wasn't there.
So, but anyway, it's the whole point is.
Yeah, this is all Michael trying to deflect from all the awful shit he said about retirees.
Yeah, no. So the whole point is that they keep getting approved for stuff like that. I remember back in the day, God, this was like 8-9 years ago when our current president asked for $5,000 file cabinet and that got approved. Now I don't remember who was there.
I wasn't.
But that got approved. I'm like, that's so, because this is back in the day that we're like, I don't know what was going on.
So let's move on.
Things like that getting passed. Yeah. And I'm like, and these are the things where I don't understand how it's getting passed. And then as I'm more in the meetings,
right,
I realize that they're bringing people that they are retirees or whatever who doesn't know what's going on.
Just and support the status quo.
Support the status quo.
So to reiterate, our issue is that they're essentially just supporting the status quo instead of supporting working carriers.
Yeah.
Right. Because these two are on opposite sides. Okay. Moving on. They seem to forget that if it had not been for us and our involvement as active letter carriers, they would not have the branch we have now. We helped this branch to grow strong and we will continue to do so. The branch we have now ain't nothing to hang your hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I talk to some senior carriers, including retirees, how great the branch was back then because management actually listened to what the hall wanted.
Right.
And
they were afraid of the union. That is not the case anymore.
That is not the case. They don't care about the union anymore. They don't listen to the union anymore. They think they can step on the union like whenever they feel like. Trust me, it has gotten worse. So for you guys who's retirees, who doesn't know, the working environment in the Postal Service has gotten way worse, especially at our branch. Okay. And so when they say they've improved, I'm like, well, you know, with all that years of experience they got, how is it getting worse? You'd think with all that experience, it should have gotten better.
Right. Yeah. That's what they hang their hat on is their experience. Mm-hmm. And where's it getting us? Okay. Mm-hmm. So moving on. It is up to us retirees to use our voting power and not allow people like this to take over and destroy what we helped to build.
I'm sorry. What did they build?
Well, not only what did they build, right? The branch is not...
it's always there. This is our union.
The army that it should be. But also to destroy, I will point out here that the stuff that we ask for, the stuff that we're agitating for, comes out of the fucking bylaws.
Yeah.
We're not asking for crazy... Yeah.
We're trying to get them hold accountable because...
Right.
I'm sorry. Don't we have a president's girlfriend as a trustee? Don't we have a wife of a treasurer who's a trustee who's supposed to hold them accountable?
I don't see any financial impropriety. If there is some, I don't know about it.
But I'm saying is they're supposed to hold them accountable.
Right.
They're supposed to do some
audits. But it's not their job.
It feels like they're not doing any type of watching.
I don't know. I can't speak to it.
That's what I feel like.
Right.
I'm telling you this as an opinion
that
I feel that's like fine. That something misses going on, especially when there's that conflict of interest. So, and they're still running for our election.
Yeah. So
Alan is a way nicer than I am.
Well, I have a problem with going off half-cocked, and I'm trying to keep it under control.
He's trying.
So, but the
this
issue
is the opinion.
Here, the
this
bylaws,
is an opinion show. That's my opinion.
Let's talk about the destruction. Mm-hmm. Because the bylaws are how we're supposed to run our branch. Mm-hmm. These retirees who the goodest oldest boy is pandering to, mm-hmm. they're the ones who voted in these bylaws and mm-hmm. said, yeah, this is the way we're going to run our branch. Mm-hmm. And so now when Michael and I stand up and say, like, hey, we're supposed to run our branch according to these bylaws, somehow we're trying to destroy the branch.
Right.
Dude, the branch done been destroyed. We're trying to get it back on track. And that track is the bylaws.
Mm-hmm. And all we're doing is trying to, you know, keep us forward to following the bylaws that we put in.
Right. So he goes on. This is why I'm writing to you again to solicit your vote. We are running the same team again, the same ones who you voted for and helped win, or the same ones you voted for and helped to win. President Redacted has been doing an excellent job since Glenn Norton passed away, and we want to keep him as president.
Okay, I have something to say on this.
Let me just finish the paragraph. Ballots will be mailed out shortly, and here is our team. Okay, go ahead.
Before I forget.
Okay.
Okay. So he's That's talking about Glenn Norton, okay? So we filed charge against our president for not
our current president.
Our current president for not doing his job and really messing with the election also, okay? And so he had a time of say at for like 15 minutes to defend himself for his charge. One of the things that he said is, I don't understand why you guys are angry about what's going on. This is the same thing we've been doing with Glenn Norton.
Right. Yeah, he used that defense.
So he was using
times.
Our president who passed away and then trying to blame it on the guy who died.
Right.
You know, what kind of person is that?
Right. Okay. Hiding behind the shield of the, saying, well, he did it that way. Mm-hmm. And,
And then here's our goodest old boy talking about how he's
accusing his predecessor of the same improprieties that he's being charged with.
But that shows that they've been doing it for years. The same thing. They just got caught this time.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because nobody bothered to read the rules before. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay, so let's finish out here because we have another subject to get to.
Yes.
Our opposition is in the race for themselves.
Are we doing it for ourselves? I mean, are we going to make extra money, extra bonuses for doing it for ourselves? I mean, what is the benefit of doing it for ourselves?
If you listen to all of this on Classes of Mail, you know where our heart is. Mm-hmm. That we want to fight for the carriers. We want to educate the carriers. I mean, we're like, this might actually be episode 200.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't fake this for 200 episodes.
Right.
Where our hearts actually are.
Look, all we've done is trying to protect our letter carriers. Right. And especially, I have some disagreements that I have with the Hall sometimes. And I'm sure they'll say every day. And that's all because I'm trying to protect my carriers at my station.
Yeah,
because
you're hearing from the Hall, that's not a grievance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which, that's another thing. They were kind of bragging about how they have way less grievances than they had in the previous year. Right. And so my guess is like, okay, if you got way less grievance, then our working money should be improved.
Right. That must mean management's not breaking the contract anymore. And our working conditions have gotten way better.
No, that's not what I hear from any of the carriers.
Right, that is not the lived experience. Yeah.
So that means they're just not filing any more grievances.
And dude, how many times have we heard that from other stewards that like, hey, I'm trying to file this grievance and the Hall is telling me it's not a grievance.
And won't let them file them. Right. Or if they do, they'll just withdraw it.
Right. Yeah. So that's... All right, but because Michael and I have been gatekept out of the or blackballed out of being stewards, you know, we're not personally involved with that process anymore.
Oh, you know what? Talk about President doing his job.
Sure.
One of his jobs is to install stewards.
Yeah, upon vacancy.
How many stewards are you supposed to have at your station?
Two.
And how many is there right now?
One.
And how long has it been just one?
Like a year.
Yeah. So that means he needs to still put one in. So that means whoever wants to run should get it, right?
Yeah.
At least have the heart to run it.
Yeah.
And I think we know exactly who has that heart.
Yeah, well.
I wonder who that is.
Dude, we can talk about that in another episode. Okay, so let's finish out this letter.
Mm-hmm.
The goodest oldest boy goes on. They have done nothing but criticize the leadership of the branch and attempt to put roadblocks at every turn. These roadblocks, you know what the roadblocks are? The roadblocks that Michael and I put up, the fucking bylaws, yes, or the election rules, yeah, or the NALC constitution. That's the fucking roadblock. That's respect. The
rules.
Yeah, that's the respect that the goodest oldest boy has for our fucking bylaws, mm-hmm, is that he calls them roadblocks.
Yeah.
The bylaws are roadblocks.
Because we won't let him. Because we won't let them break the rules.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's it. Simple as that.
Right. And so, how does that respect... Yeah.
So all you retirees out there, all we're doing is to try to get them to hold accountable to follow the rules that were set forth by our constitution,
right?
National constitution, yeah, to our local bylaws. That's all we're doing.
Right.
We're not trying to hold them back on anything. We're just trying to make sure that they're helping out our branch.
We vote yes all the time when we're at the union meetings.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Just like I said, voted yes to them going to California State, even though I didn't agree with that. But as soon as they said, oh, they're going there for training,
yeah,
I agree.
Let's do it.
They need training.
Yeah. Yeah. We ain't holding shit back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we finally get to the sentence that inspired the whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
They have no plans to make our branch better, only to make themselves look good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Plans.
Yeah.
First of all, what plan do they have for our branch?
Oh, I have not seen a platform. Like the mailer that they sent out has like some of their bio on it. It really just says that they donate to the Letterkenny Political Fund. Mm-hmm. All right, good on them for that. So do we.
Mm-hmm.
And that they've been in for a long time.
Okay. What's their accomplishment?
They're not running on accomplishments. Oh. I wonder why.
I haven't heard of any accomplishments, so I don't know. So
yeah. So... yeah, credit to, a regular listener, you know who you are, for pointing out that their mm-hmm. advertising material does not list any accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. So anyway, and then let me just finish this, and then we can go back to mm-hmm. they have no plans. Again, we seek your vote to keep our team going. We have great retiree representation on the executive board. Boy, ain't that the truth. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, like, but this is what we're talking about, aren't we? Yeah.
Right. And we will continue to keep the retiree voice strong at Branch 2502 with your help. Please take the time to return your ballot in solidarity, goodest oldest boy.
And retirees, we don't hate you.
No.
But as you can see, our goodest old boy
right.
is counting on your vote to go against really the regular active carriers.
And he's pandering to mm-hmm. you and deceiving you
mm-hmm.
in the stuff that he says. And unlike, you know... When there was an article written about us in the state newsletter, mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah, people are spreading misinformation on their podcast. Notice how they never point to any specific
misinformation is.
What are we saying that's not true?
Right.
But dude, on the other end of it, we're pointing to exact specific examples of what is being said that is not true. And
so if you guys are wondering why we talk the way we do, we try to bring stuff that's actually from where the problem is.
Yeah,
they're saying that we're giving out all this misinformation, but in reality, they still haven't said what we're giving out as misinformation. You can say, hey, they're spreading out misinformation. I can say, hey, our incumbent is spreading out misinformation. But if we don't say what,
then exactly. It's just talk.
Just talk.
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay. So to get back to the sentence that inspired this whole episode,
mm-hmm.
They have no plans to make our branch better. Now,
this is a platform that me and Alan worked out and almost 2 years ago now.
Dude, and the goodest oldest boy, not only do we have a platform, right? He says we have no plans mm-hmm. to make the branch better. Not only do we have a platform, we mailed that platform to the entire fucking branch.
Yes, we did.
And we did a podcast episode about it, but it was a while back, so we're going to...
Go over it again.
Yeah, so we're going to go over it again.
Some of them might be a little bit old that we may not be able to do it again, but...
Well, no, this is our updated version of the platform.
There you go.
But it's very similar to the last one. But we took out stuff about the LMOU because it's not current anymore.
Right.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and read the platform. Michael, you can react to it.
Yep.
Item number one. These are in no particular order. Aggressively and tirelessly assist stewards to pursue all contract violations by management. We will not horse trade or withdraw legitimate grievances.
Yes, and that is one of the problems that's going on with our branch, because you ask a lot of the stewards or former stewards how a lot of these grievances are not going through or being, or they're just settling it at the weakest
settlement language and whatever. Yeah.
And especially right now with the attendance thing is the worst settlements ever. And it seems like our union is not fighting for it. So, I find out National is doing the same thing.
Yeah, so
that's a problem.
this commitment to pursue all contractual violations. Would you say that that's a plan to make the branch better?
Oh, definitely. I think that's a plan to make the branch better.
I would say that too.
Yeah.
So looks like the goodest oldest boy right out of the gate.
He's mistaken. Like we're all,
yeah. All right. Next, aggressively pursue hostile work environment grievances against any managers or supervisors who mistreat carriers.
Right. Well, let's see. I can tell you about my station.
Okay.
My station, we used to start at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And when they changed to 8:30, my other steward, Jonathan, filed a grievance saying, hey, we're in Las Vegas. And you decided to change it to the start time to 8:30, 30 minutes longer.
Right.
In July,
more time in the hottest
in middle
part
of 110 degree weather.
Right.
And it was right when we just got a report that, by the way, we're going to have breaking heat records. And then management, on the day that we're supposed to break the heat record, they changed the starting time by another 30 minutes, so we'll be out in the heat longer. And so we filed a grievance on it, and guess what our current president said?
It's not a grievance. No. Oh, yeah. I know what he said, because he said that at my station, too. The LMOU says they can change the start times once a year.
Mm-hmm. But so see, it's here's not the a thing. Grievance. So here's the thing is, so they can do that. But here's the thing is that we filed it as a safety violation because you're putting us in risk longer.
And it goes further than that because there's also criteria by which they're supposed to adjust the start times.
Right.
And so, yes, they're allowed to do it, but that doesn't just give carte blanche.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's not agenda item or this platform item was about hostile work environment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's also hostile.
Okay. All right.
Management doing that.
But I know... Because I know you, that you have taken management to the woodshed on hostile work environment and filing EEOs and getting people removed and all that stuff. So, all right. So, yeah, Michael puts his money where his mouth is on that. Okay, next. Conduct monthly labor management meetings as required by the LMOU. Invite stewards from each station to attend labor management meetings on a rotating basis. Make minutes readily available to all carriers.
Oh, this is one of the charges we filed against our current president, didn't we?
And he said that they weren't doing it. And so now they do seem to be... This does seem to be one that they've adopted. And dude, this is a good example of how we're making positive change in the branch.
Because we pushed for this.
It was in the LMOU. Mm-hmm. He's not doing it. And... You know, you want to say we're not making the branch better? Well, look at this. This came out of our platform. They weren't doing it before.
And now they're doing it.
But they're still not good about distributing the minutes from those meetings.
I know. They're supposed to do it for every meeting that goes to all the stations.
Right,
not
exactly.
Just one station.
Yeah. Why would they keep that stuff under their hats? You know? Okay, next. Make regular visits to each station, providing leadership to carriers, and getting real-world feedback on conditions on the workroom floor. They've been doing this lately, but it's because it's campaign season.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously Michael and I, and this is the nice thing about having working carriers going into these positions, is we know what it's like on the workroom floor because we're on the workroom floor. Mm-hmm. Right. The people we have up there now are widely separated from the experience of delivering letter carriers. Next, modernize branch record keeping and grievance process. Allow stewards ready access to resolved and citable grievances.
And this is where I hear a lot of stewards complaining. Okay,
sure, because that information's gatekept right now.
Yeah, so anytime they want to file a grievance, the hall doesn't give them any information on that grievance,
right.
And so it's like unless you're good friends with the. The VP or
in that
president.
Situation, right? You'd be there like chit-chatting with them as you're doing your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd file grievances, and then after the fact, I'd hear, oh, well, there's already a settlement on that, and you should have used a settlement. How the hell am I supposed to know that?
When you call in for that grievance or grievance number.
Yeah.
And so they know what you're filing, yet they don't send you any information on how to file that grievance.
Yeah, so... Regardless, the way it is now, it needs to be streamlined. It needs to be updated.
Oh, yes.
And that stuff needs to be just readily available. Mm-hmm. Like a steward shouldn't have to go begging for it.
So some of my ideas was I wanted to modernize our branch and maybe create a user ID and password for all the stewards. And they can log on and see all the grievances and settlements, and including what's being pending and what's not being pending or one that's being settled. So they know what's going on because there's so many times
right.
the hall or the step B settles on something. We don't even know he's settled yet.
That is correct.
Yeah.
All right. Provide laptop computers to stewards to streamline the grievance process and train stewards in their proper use.
Yeah.
So this would be like Chromebooks. They're really cheap, mm-hmm. and you can have the stuff that you need on them. They would be mm-hmm. branch property. And honestly, most stewards are already using laptops. When I was a steward, I was using my own laptop. But dude, if somebody needs that...
Well, you know, I was talking to the VP about this.
Okay.
And in hers, she said, she mm-hmm. goes, oh, good luck with that. That was her answer.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, there you go. Is this a plan to improve the branch? Yes, mm-hmm. it is a plan to improve the branch. Yeah, absolutely.
We don't know if we can make it to happen, but,
well,
you know.
It's not.
I don't see how hard that is.
Yeah, this is a hurdle that can be overcome. And, mm-hmm. dude, what, you know, some carriers, I guarantee you, there are stewards out there who are still doing it with pen and paper because they have to. Because they don't have access to a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And the branch should help them to get that better way. You know, there's no reason not to do this. The Chromebooks are cheap. We have the money for it. Make a motion. Get branch approval. Like,
yeah.
And again, ideas to improve the branch.
You know, we have, what, 17 stations, I think?
Something like that.
You know, let's say Chromebooks cost $300. So that's almost $4,000. I mean, they're spending $9,000 to go to California.
Yeah.
I mean, what's
and, dude,
grand?
How much are they going to spend on redoing the fucked up election?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's money that Michael and I would save. Mm-hmm. All right, next. Foster an environment where accountability, transparency, and question asking are encouraged. Dude, you think having an open and friendly environment down at the Union Hall is a improvement to the branch? Absolutely, it is.
So they were using Robert's Rules of Order to stop us talking. So we decided to learn more about Robert's Rules of Order. And including Alan got real smart and made a quick reference guide.
Right, that printout.
Yeah.
By the way, listeners, that's still available. If you want the handy reference guide for Robert's Rules of Order to run your meetings, send me an email, classesandmail@gmail.com, and I will send it out to you.
Oh, it's so nice to have.
It is. Good.
Handy.
At the very first meeting, it made a difference.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it stops people from getting steamrolled, not mm-hmm. knowing what's going on. Absolutely. Next, ensure branch compliance with NALC Constitution, bylaws, and local memorandum of understanding. And, dude, if we get back to the letter from the goodest oldest boy, you know what he calls that? Roadblocks.
Exactly.
Next, strengthen ties with the community, especially with other labor unions, by supporting the wider labor movement, engaging in public outreach, and building relationships with local media. So we have this big voice in our branch, and we have an active union town because we've got the SEIU is really big here, Culinary Union, steel workers, you know, the big construction unions, pipe fitters. They're all here.
Yeah. So here's what I don't understand is that, you know, I'm going to the AFL-CIO conventions, and that to me is more like a networking convention, and everybody's handing out business cards and things like to work with each other and so forth, and yet every time when something is happening, it seems like I don't see any working with other unions. It's crazy.
Yeah, like when we had our Protect Our Letter Carriers mm-hmm. rally after our rap session down here, when we were out there picketing, people from SEIU and the IBEW and all that just showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's because
we're
of the
rallying
FL-CIO.
With us.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, dude, how come letter carriers aren't doing that?
Right.
Yeah, so that's, we want to be more involved in solidarity activities.
So there was at one point when we're doing the one by the federal building.
Yeah, that was the
Protect Our Letter Carriers.
Yep.
Yeah. And so after I did that with the federal building, the next day, my carriers were like, hey, I didn't get that notice. I'm like, look, I didn't get that notice at the last minute.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no
communication methods. Yeah.
No communication.
Okay, next. Encourage and nurture the development of new and alternate stewards by providing a clear development path, extensive personalized training, and step-by-step involvement in the grievance process. Right now, our training is like one meeting that's a one-size-fits-all meeting once a month. And, you know, it's like 2 hours a month is the training, or an hour and a half.
Yeah, and then from what I gather from other stewards, they're not training things properly. I mean,
I don't know. I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
Because since I got iced out as a steward.
But you can still go to the meeting if you want it. They don't kick us out of the meeting.
Okay, thanks. Okay? Good to know.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is, like, new stewards, they're intimidated by the whole... Like, when I first became a steward, I didn't even know what an 8190 is, you know? And so, even, like, step one, I don't get it. And people need that guidance mm-hmm. from the beginning, and there's no infrastructure in place within our branch to do that.
So for the retirees that just got on, We actually did a podcast on basic steward training. So if you'd like, sure, to go back and look at that, yeah, if you'd like.
Right. Okay. And again, that seems like a plan to make the branch better.
Yes, it is.
All right, moving on. Provide frequent, consistent communication to the branch via multiple communication platforms, including but not limited to Facebook, podcasts, email, group messaging, and website. So now we know that the incumbents do know how to use social media, at least a little bit, and they are absolutely not using it to spread the message of the branch. They're not using it to educate. They're not using it for any of that stuff.
They're using it political.
Yeah, to just try to stay in their positions. Mm-hmm. And to
do. Yeah. So yeah, there's a Facebook pages and TikTok and so forth. Every one of them there is,
it's just campaign videos. Yeah.
Campaigning videos.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you retirees who's new or other new carriers who's on this podcast, go back and look at all the episodes. I can guarantee you there's a lot of training in those episodes.
In, okay, our episode. In our episode. Mail, of course. Yeah.
So it's not just campaigning.
Yeah. Dude, even this one is, mm-hmm, still educating about, you know, the mailer process, mm-hmm, educating about ideas for branch improvement, ways that you can improve your branch, stuff like that.
And me and Alan, we're both active carriers. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking out of being an active carrier.
Yeah, right.
Not somebody who's been experience, sitting at a desk for all these dozens of years.
Right. Yeah, so many years that they brag, mm-hmm, about it. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Offer branch meetings and training sessions via Zoom or other similar platforms so that interested union members who can't get to meetings can still be informed. How many people were at our last meeting? The big one that had nominations, like the one really people come out to.
I don't know, about 40 people, maybe?
No, it was about 70. It was because the votes went like 42 to 35 or something, okay, like that, or 35
but
to 32.
But nomination night used to get those. Yeah, it was so packed. And people, yeah.
All right.
It used to be over 100 people.
So 70 people, mm-hmm, that represents less than 4% of, mm-hmm, our branch.
Yep.
And the stuff that goes on at that meeting doesn't really get disseminated. There's no avenue for that to get disseminated. So the question is, what about the other 96% of the people in our branch? What about them? Shouldn't they know what's going on? Shouldn't they have access?
A majority of the people I talked to from different stations, uh-huh, said they didn't even get any notification there was a nomination.
Well, it was in the postal record.
I know.
And I know a lot. But yeah, that's the thing, right? There could
nobody's
be,
notified except, exactly, for postal record, which how many people would actually look at the back,
yeah, look
of,
in the
back of the postal,
right,
record?
Exactly. Yeah. So, right, this is the thing. The opportunity for communication is present, and our branch doesn't do it because they actively resist open communication. There are so many avenues that make it so easy. They're not doing any of them. Yeah. We don't even have a branch newsletter, yeah, and that's in our bylaws.
Yeah, if they want a competent election to happen, they would have notified everybody, hey, go ahead and run for the nominations,
yeah, exactly,
you know, because we need you.
100%.
You know, not just the same people. Let's get some people who's willing to do it. Let's get, right, you guys to come in. No.
Yeah.
They just want the same people to always, yeah, go to all the meetings, go to all the conventions,
exactly,
go to all the same,
yeah,
thing.
It's the good old boys.
Good
network.
Old boys club. Yep. So they don't have to deliver, right, the mail.
And right now, our bylaws don't prohibit our meetings being done by Zoom. There's nothing in there that says you can't do it. What it does say is that the meetings are in closed session. And so in order to enforce that, we'd have to make sure that people who log into Zoom are members, just like we make sure people who show up at the hall are members.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But those are being modernizing our branch.
Yeah. Yeah. Which seems better, right?
Yeah.
Getting the information out, letting more people attend. Like right now, you're essentially saying single mothers who have kids to take care of at home, you're not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want you knowing this stuff.
Yeah. You got
because
kids.
Because no effort is made to get them involved.
You got kids in the daycare.
Yeah.
And you got to go pick them up because you
right,
don't want to spend any more money being in the daycare. Yeah. So you got to go there and get your kids.
Right.
They're saying you can't go to the union meetings.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we don't want you.
Yeah. Or all those people who's working overtime.
Yeah, okay? That's right.
I had to work an extra 2 hours today. Oh, by the way, the union meeting is already past that time.
Yeah. How nice if you could just set your phone out, mm-hmm, have the Zoom going,
and still know what's going on. Yeah, and listen to
the
meeting. Because you don't have to watch what we're doing. You want to see our ugly faces. Listen to us.
What's the rationale for being opposed to something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the downside here? Like the only downside I can think of, and it almost feels like I'm making a straw man argument because it's such an idiotic argument, is, oh, management could get on there and know what's going on. Who fucking cares?
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing anything secret there. Mm-hmm. And if management wants to know what they're up to, they should read the fucking contract because that's what we're up to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they ain't doing it. All right. So moving on. adhere to a strict no retaliation policy for branch officers. Opposing views will be listened to openly. Oversight and accountability will be welcomed. Branch members can and should feel comfortable voicing their concerns or calling out potential wrongdoing. By bringing your concerns to our attention, you are doing a service to the branch. Is that the current attitude down at the hall?
Oh, no, because
see, no, those are roadblocks and just well, trying to destroy the branch.
There's a lot of carriers who wanted to be, you know, to run for office and things that they just they're just afraid of retaliation from current regime.
Yeah, that's right.
That they are just staying quiet. Okay.
Yeah. And is that retaliation a legitimate concern?
It is.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Is a, the retaliation 100%. Oh, you don't do what I tell you, so I'm going to retaliate and make your life worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are worried about that because here's the thing. Some of these stewards, they want to protect carriers.
Absolutely.
And so they don't want to be retaliated on, so they just kiss ass so that they won't get retaliated on to protect the other carriers.
Yeah. Dude, I had the same issue in my episode, How I Got Fired from the Carrier Academy Again, where I talk about that look, I'm still an alternate steward and I'm scared that he's going to take that away from me too. And I got to just keep my head down and try not to make waves. And it turns out I was right to be scared about that.
So all you retirees, you know, we're not hating you. We're just trying to make our branch better.
Right. Okay. And it's incredibly frustrating.
And yes, it's sometimes I sound like that I'm against the retirees because I get a little frustrated because they, you know, they keep voting. And then afterwards, I ask them, hey, why'd you vote this week? Oh, I didn't even know that this was for active carriers.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, then why are you voting? You know, but they're like, oh, we were just helping out our president. So then he needed help.
Right.
And didn't even know what they were voting on.
Train as many stewards as possible for formal A, allowing stewards greater control over the grievances filed at their stations. Dude, I mean, this, you know, why would you want to withhold training like that from your stewards? But Michael, you were told exactly that it was going to be withheld from you.
Yes.
Because you were argumentative.
Yeah. Argumentative because I was talking to our new election chair.
Uh-huh.
And she asked me, hey.
Oh, the one from National.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's your hobby? I said, my hobby is reading contracts and handbooks and manuals. And she's like, are you serious? I'm going, well, that's all I've been doing for most of my time off. I've been reading contracts and manuals. And so a lot of times that when I argue is a part that I read from the contract or handbooks and manuals said this. And I argue, so I'm arguing with the branch,
right,
because this is what I read.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense. And what's going on?
Yeah. And you hear Michael and me argue, and it's resolved by going to the JCAM or looking in the, you know, whatever. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's incidents where CCAs cannot take a higher position, higher detail. Okay. And so there was a grievance I filed. Well, I was trying to file for two of saying they can't be 204Bs, and I was told that I cannot file it. It wouldn't let me file it. It was, you know, it was, just things like that.
I don't know if you're on the right side of that issue, but file it because they're doing
file
it anyway.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. Test it. Test the waters.
Now, for all those older retirees back in the day as a steward, that was when Glenn was around. This is even when Rich Griffin was around. Okay, and his wife
vaguely
Tracy,
remember that
and,
name, yeah,
and all these other older the retirees now, and what they told me was like file grievances, and see what sticks, because any of the grievances that doesn't go through, we didn't lose anything, but anything that sticks, we gained something. So they told us to file everything, but what do we do now? Oh, don't file anything unless it's for sure it's a grievance.
Right. Exactly. All right. Next. Bring experienced and dynamic trainers and speakers to the branch to provide training, insight, and leadership for all branch members. So let's think about the training that we just sent people to in
California State.
Right, where we spent like $9,000
right.
Yeah, to send people there. We could have had somebody come here for maybe $2,000.
And had two people come here to train.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And you could have trained, instead of 9 people, you could have trained like 50 people.
Exactly. Yeah, that's way more cost effective. Mm-hmm. It lets more people get trained. And it's one of the luxuries of having a larger branch.
Yes.
And then on top of that, you know, like listening to Mike Cariff when he was on here, And he said one of the big struggles that NALC has is that these people in smaller branches don't have access to training. And so they try to do these regional trainings where people can drive in. Well, here in Las Vegas, you could have people come in from St. George, have people come in from Ely, have people come in from Laughlin, from Needles, you know, wherever is within a couple of hours, bring them in here. And that would still be cheaper than what we're paying to send a bunch of people to California.
I mean, see, here's the thing is, let's say Mike Karev, they just talked about. If I branch calls Mike Karev, say, hey, can you send somebody over to train about this? This is the subject. And we'll pay for their training for one or two individuals. That's right. Still cheaper than sending people to California State Convention.
Exactly. Yes, that is exactly right. Okay, next. Encourage the involvement of rank-and-file members of the branch to contribute their skills and talents in ways that don't involve grievance handling. If you can help the branch, we welcome your contribution. And that's, again, a culture issue that we have right now. People are not welcome.
Yeah. And that's called solidarity.
Yeah.
That we don't have right now.
Right.
And that is what he's promoting on their campaign. But there is no solidarity.
No,
when was the last time we had a picnic?
Right.
When was the last time we had something for the whole
NALC? Well, that's a solidarity event. Yeah. Right. And a picnic is that because there's mingling, there's people all mm-hmm. gathered in one place. What we do instead is do like water park tickets or baseball game tickets.
But we all go at a separate time.
But we all go separately.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And then everybody's separate in the water
park.
And
it's not a mingling with everybody.
Exactly.
You have to pay to get there.
Right. It's not a solidarity mm-hmm. event. And the branch needs that. Mm-hmm. You know, dude, there's part of me that's jealous of the branches that have office breaks
mm-hmm.
because that's a time for solidarity. Mm-hmm. And dude, even in the union in general, when we used to case a lot more mail, you spend 3 hours in the office, you get to know your coworkers mm-hmm. and you chit chat with them and learn what's going on in their lives and things like that. And that just doesn't really happen anymore. And so the branch needs solidarity events.
And right now, nothing like that is happening right now. And they're promoting solidarity on their campaigning, and yet I don't see it.
Yeah. So anyway, about that welcoming environment mm-hmm. is if you have other skill,
mm-hmm.
there's plenty of stuff you can do to help the branch that doesn't involve grievance handling, and it frees up grievance handlers to not have to do stuff.
Are you saying that your experience as a teacher, you could have do a lot more stuff for our union?
Exactly. Ding, ding, ding. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, you mean like me as experience as I used to sell cars and I used to sell stuff and I used to argue all the time. As you know, those salespeople know how to argue to close that deal, always be closing. And I can use that on fighting grievances with management.
Right, so that frees you up for grievance handling. Mm. Right, exactly. Okay. Right, so we want to welcome people who can help the branch. That's exactly right. That's the priority, right? All right, anyway. Update and repair and modernize the branch website. The branch website will become a hub for updated information and news for our members. So we did just get a brand new website, but there's really nothing on it at the moment.
So here's the thing is we talked about updating and modernizing our branch.
Dude, we've been ringing this bell
over
for
a year
long
ago.
Yeah.
And they just got a website page.
Right.
With some few things on there.
Yeah. But it's still, and as I understand it, the way the branch president told the story is like, he didn't even ask for this. That some carrier just went rogue and created a branch website and is like, here, have this website.
Well, technically, that's not true because they did approve at the meeting, because you weren't there
that one day.
Oh, it
was the meeting I wasn't there. Okay.
To have a new website. So that is something we did approve.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
But again, that's all.
All right. And then on that website,
it's not even finished.
Yeah, on that. I mean, it takes time, you know. But
it's been over
so
a year.
I know that's the problem. And yeah, and we get these empty promises that we're going to put that on the website. You know, that'll be like, dude, our website still doesn't have our updated bylaws.
Uh-huh.
Still.
Yeah. Yeah. No updated bylaws. No.
Yeah.
I mean,
and we've been ringing that bell for a long time. In addition, on the website, put grievance status updates on the website, giving stewards and carriers up-to-date information on their grievances. So I talked about this a little bit in my episode with Joshua Shrum of the, what's that podcast? The Roseville Wrecking Ball. Anyway, on Joshua Shrum's episode, where one of the big time wasters down at the hall is people calling up, hey, what's going on with my grievance? On the website, the idea is to put just the grievance by grievance number, and just have the current status of that grievance. That is it resolved? Is it pending formal step A? Is it withdrawn? Is it settled? So that That information is there. There's no identifying information on it. But what that also does is it creates a transparency where carriers can log onto that website and you can see if a third of the grievances are being withdrawn at the formal A level. Hey, what's going on here?
Right.
You know, and so all of this thing, all of these things, more information in the hands of the carriers, more accountability for people. And dude, Michael's planning on being president. So this means more accountability for Michael.
Right.
And is that okay with you?
And, here's the thing. If I don't do my job, in 2 years, we're going to have another election.
Right.
Normally three because lost a year.
Yeah.
And we're going to have another election. If I don't do my job, you guys got to vote me out.
Right. Well, dude, and we're going to have another election anyway because anyway. All right.
Well, that's another matter. Yeah, we can talk about another some other time.
All right. We're almost done with this.
Yeah.
Adamantly fight against any movement to later start times. Grievances, informational pickets, and media outreach are all on the table. So, dude, that's something we pretty much never use is picketing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was thinking about this today. At stations that have, I mean, obviously the late start times, that's something that the media can really get their hand, their sink their teeth into because it's a very easy story. It's obvious what the problem is.
Well, there was a YouTube video or clip that I saw today.
Okay.
From Phoenix, okay, where their media at channel, I forget what channel it was, and they were reporting on a carrier who made a video of putting a raw steak on the dashboard, and in like an hour and a half, 2 hours, it turned the whole inside of the meat to 140 degrees inside, which is considered medium done.
Right.
An hour and a half, 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Dude, and we're actually delivering mail out of that truck.
I bring frozen meals with me, and I put them up on the dashboard of my LLV or my ProMaster, and yeah, by lunchtime, they're plenty hot.
We have carriers who puts ramen noodle in a bowl, and they put it on the dash, so by the time it's lunchtime, it's nice and hot.
Yeah, it's ready to go. Yep, exactly. So anyway, you know, and the other thing I was thinking about today is, like, we don't pick it, like, ever. And so at your own station, if you're being mistreated at your station or if your station's going to move to later start times, this is solidarity. This is, hey, everybody show up a half hour early tomorrow. We're going to have pickets and we're going to picket out in front of the post office.
Saying that they're mistreating us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This is not a strike. This is, no. We cannot strike, but we can picket saying, hey, they're treating us wrong.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you call the local news station. They come out and cover it. Yeah. And yeah, that puts a lot of pressure on postal management. All right, next.
They may try to say, oh, you're making the post office look bad. Well, actually,
no,
that's
the post
not
office
us.
Is making themselves
that's
look
yourself
bad.
Looking
yeah, exactly.
Us bad.
That's right. Yeah. All right. File contractual grievances against supervisors who do not meet in good faith at any step of the grievance procedure and those who delay the grievance process. This is obviously a problem everywhere. Yeah.
And this is going on nationwide in reality. Yeah.
But that, dude, you can fight it. It needs to be fought at the national level, but you can fight it at the grassroots level too.
Yes.
Where now every grievance becomes two grievances, three grievances. And, you know, we're going to win those grievances. All right. And it's just a bigger paper trail for when that stuff goes up the chain.
And I think there's some other ways that we can do grievances a little bit differently to hold management accountable. Mm-hmm. And right now, management, especially Las Vegas, are not scared of our union.
Right.
So they're doing whatever the hell they want right now.
Yeah. All right. We got two more. Robert's Rules of Order will be printed and available at every branch meeting, ensuring that the meeting procedures cannot be manipulated to disenfranchise anyone attending the meeting.
Oh, well, you mean like, dude, what you did at the
last
meeting?
Yeah, we did
meeting?
It. Yeah. They ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. We can pass it out to everybody because it's only Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah.
So it's not campaigning. It's not any of those kind.
Not
it's just Robert's Rules of Order, how it works, and simple quick reference guide on how things work. So there's nothing you cannot, they cannot tell you to not to hand it out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so, and that helps to balance because Robert's Rules is designed for fairness. And so everybody's voice gets to be heard. And if your branch ain't about that, then you need Robert's Rules of Order. And so again, if you want that, classes@mail@gmail.com, I'm happy to send it to you.
And I'm telling you is that even though they make us, as in me and Alan, to follow the Robert's Rules of Order, but our current regime will do the Robert's Rules of Order however they want to do it.
They're getting better about it because they know that we're enforcing it, and they have gotten better about it.
Yeah, but remember that one guy who was yelling and screaming?
Yeah, I know.
And he was like second, third time talking, and they kept allowing it.
Yeah.
Because in the Robert's Rules of Order, everybody has to talk first before you do a second time.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody speaks once, and then if it gets around again, you can speak a second time, and then that's it.
And this guy talked three times.
Yeah.
And our Sergeant Bar didn't do anything.
Right. Or nor did our parliamentarian, the goodest, oldest boy. Yep. All right. Last.
If we do it, oh my gosh, they're on it right away. Exactly. You can't talk right now. Yeah.
Dude, and that's why passing out those rules is important, because the system gets manipulated by the person holding the gavel.
Yes.
And we know that happens. All right. Last one. Mobilize the branch to send as many delegates as possible to the 2026 NALC convention in Los Angeles. We can send up to 80.
No, up to 100.
I think we redid the math and it figured out it was 80. Because it was like one for every 15 carriers or something like
5%, that. 5%,
right? I don't think. I think it 5%. Was one to, for 15 or one for 12.
We have 2,000 members. 5% is about 100.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It might be like 96 or 95. But either way.
I went through and redid this.
Either way.
Either way,
if I'm the president.
Yeah.
We're going to try to maximize it. I want to send the maximum amount of people to LA. You know why? Why do I want to do that, Alan?
Because we got a big branch. We should have a big voice.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay. And here's the thing.
And there's no downside.
Yeah. When I'm at the national convention, I've been there a few times now, and there's branches with like 100 people sitting on that side for their branch. And,
it's a force.
And when they vote as a solidarity branch.
Right. Yeah.
They vote all together.
Right.
And they get let's say there's 100 of them. They get all 100 votes.
Right.
Okay. So when we're voting to charge like Renfro, saying that he should have been using the vehicle, our NALC vehicle to
get to DUI drive drunk.
Or whatever it was. And people are forgiving it. You know, should we forgive him? Should we not forgive him? We're passing those votes. And that's the thing. When you're voting us things like that, I'd like to have Branch 2502 have that voice.
Right.
Right now, but there's about 20 people go to national convention now.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. And dude, this is another communication issue too, because it's not publicized. Hey, do you want to go to the convention? This is the steps you have to take. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is gatekept. It's all hidden. That's exactly right.
Well, do you know why I think it's being hidden?
Tell me.
I believe it's being hidden because they want to maximize the amount of money to use for the national convention so everybody gets their own hotel room. The less people go, there's more money to spend.
So, yeah, there's that. You know, the budget has a fixed amount of money in it, and that's fine. They don't all have to be paid delegates. Like, for us, getting to Los Angeles is easy. And so, A, that money can go a lot further because we don't have to buy plane tickets. And we can do Airbnbs with a bunch of bedrooms. Like, there's ways to stretch that budget.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that if there's less people, they can spend more money on each individual. Whereas, solidarity-wise, when we get send 100 people, we can't spend that much money for each individual.
Right.
But as a group, why not?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we can rent a bus. We can pay for a tank of gas. Like, there's a lot of options. And
maybe Airbnb. Or,
right, exactly. You know, okay. Yeah. So to round it out, let's go back to the words of the goodest oldest boy. They have no plans to make our branch better.
Dude, we just talked about all that stuff, including because we were saying this, that our current president is doing them now.
Yeah, some of them. Right.
In fact, we filed 22 charges saying that he's not doing his job.
Yeah, and some of the stuff he is doing.
And now he's
doing.
Actually doing it.
Some.
Not all of it, but he's doing
right. And there's concrete proof that not only are we have plans to make the better, we're implementing plans to make the branch better. And what he's saying is flatly not true. And he's misleading the retirees.
To all the retirees. Exactly. So all the new retirees are checking our podcast out right now.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't believe us, I mean, check it out yourself.
Okay? Exactly.
Ask all the active carriers if their life has improved or not.
Right. Yeah. Okay? How good things
are
going.
I'm sure you know some active carriers still. Right. Yeah. And ask them if their life has improved because of at the workplace. Not obviously not their personal life.
Sure, sure.
See if their workplace's environment is better. Yeah. You might be friends.
Right. They're friends.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, see all how everything is doing. Go ask. Talk to people.
Oh,
you know?
Michael, it's been more than an hour. Jeez Louise.
Hey, well, I think this needed to be said. And put it on there. Say, hey, this is a campaign thing.
Yeah, that we're talking about. This is our platform.
If you don't want to listen to the campaign thing, then don't listen.
Yeah,
to
Kind of but dude, these episodes have been doing well. And Las Vegas, number one in downloads now. Yeah. So that's pretty great. Please
Maybe
continue
because
to
of all
the word.
Improprieties that's going on in Las Vegas. It makes it a good soap opera, I guess.
All right. On that, I think we'll call it there. Michael, thank you very much for coming by, making that long drive. And I will catch you all next time.